This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Risk. It's not just a board game anymore.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. Happy Friday. I'm Steve Chiatakis. It's the morning open, a look at the economy as we start the trading day. Where's Wall Street? Numbers are up right now for the S&P, up about 0.4%. The Dow, the same, about 40 points at 98.24. The NASDAQ up about 0.25%. And European shares under 0.5% up at this hour. In Asia, stocks closed lower today. We've talked about this for a while now, proposals to rein in pay for bankers. So this morning we hear the Federal Reserve may be getting involved in a way it never has before. The Wall Street Journal reports the central bank is looking at a proposal that would require Fed approval on policies that set the pay of bank workers across the country. We're going to talk about this idea with Richard DeKayser, president of Woodley Park Research. He joins us live from Washington this morning. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
So the idea here is the Fed is concerned about compensation that provokes risky behavior, right? Does this proposal effectively reduce that?
Well, I think it would. You know, the basic problem is that fewer and fewer banks are accounting for more and more of our banking system. In Fed speak, that means they are systemically important, and in vernacular, that means they're too big to fail. So the question is, how do we protect taxpayers in the event that these institutions fail? And I think these proposals are designed to try and short-circuit the risk-taking, provide incentives so that they simply don't create that much of a potential liability for the American taxpayer.
You know, Richard, though, proponents say, yeah, we need to reduce risk, but those against the proposal say the idea of risk is important on Wall Street, I mean, or in any bank. I mean, that it's a part of the game. Is risk such a bad thing?
No, of course not, and it's essential to the whole financial system. The question is, under what terms? Now, if we look back over the past year, we saw a lot of loans made which were very rewarding to those who made them. But then eventually, when the loans go bad, the bonuses have already been paid. There's no way to get them back. And hence, therein lies the incentive for people to make bad loans. This is not an attempt to control compensation, not in the sense of setting limits or anything like that, but simply redefining the rules so that the incentives for making these things for which there is no recourse 1 or 2 or 3 years later are fewer and further between.
We're going to have to cut it off there. Richard DeKayser, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
We appreciate it. It's been a bad summer for the nation's dairy farmers. An oversupply of milk and a drop in international demand have sent prices paid to farmers to their lowest level in 3 decades. Farmers blame some of the problems on a lack of competition in the wholesale industry. They've asked the U.S. Justice Department to investigate antitrust allegations. Tomorrow, the Senate Judiciary Committee looks at the complaints with a hearing in Vermont. And from Vermont Public Radio, John Dillon reports.
Over the last year, dairy farmers' paychecks have shrunk nearly in half. They're paid about $11 for 100 pounds of milk. But Dave Montaigne said it cost him about $18 in feed, fuel, and labor to produce that much. The Vermont farmer figures he's losing at least $100 a month on each of his 1,000 cows.
Our size farmer, it'll be minus $1 million for the year.
Many farmers and their allies in Washington blame the low prices on a lack of competition among milk buyers. There are just a handful of dominant milk companies in the country buying milk from tens of thousands of farms. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders has asked the Justice Department to investigate Dean Foods, the nation's largest milk company. Sanders says the Dallas-based company controls 70% of the milk market in New England.
So while farmers' prices are at a 30-year low, Dean Foods is seeing a huge increase in their profits, and we think those two issues are not unrelated.
Dean Foods says the federal government, through price supports, has a big role in what farmers are paid. And the company says the simple law of supply and demand is what's behind the plummeting milk prices right now.
In Montpelier, Vermont, I'm John Dillon for Marketplace.
You're listening to The Morning Report for Friday, September 18th, 2009 at marketplace.org. The Securities and Exchange Commission has proposed a ban on a controversial practice known as flash trading. It's part of a larger effort to make the markets more transparent. Marketplace's Amy Scott reports.
Flash orders give some traders a sort of sneak peek at the market. It allows them to see an order to buy or sell stock a fraction of a second before that order is revealed publicly. The SEC is concerned the practice gives traders with lightning-fast computers an unfair advantage. The electronic stock exchanges NASDAQ and BATS recently stopped offering flash orders after the practice started drawing scrutiny this summer. But a rival market called Direct Edge has continued to offer its form of flash trading. The public has 60 days to comment on the proposed ban. The SEC yesterday also proposed rules to limit conflicts of interest and improve disclosure at credit rating agencies. They've been blamed for fueling the financial crisis by giving risky mortgage-backed securities their seal of approval. In New York, I'm Amy Scott for Marketplace.
The British government has plunged even deeper into debt than many economists were even expecting and had to borrow more than $26 billion in August. That's the highest figure ever for that month. Our man in London, Stephen Beard, reports.
The British government is caught in a double bind. Tax revenues from the all-important financial sector have slumped, while public spending on items like unemployment pay and welfare is soaring. Many governments face the same dilemma, but Britain looks to be the worst hit of the big economies. When the recession ends, the government will have to put up taxes and make cuts in public spending. David Buick of the BGC Group says those cuts will need to be savage.
Really, it's just about every single service, whether it be transport, defence, education, they're all going to be affected. Cuts will be made and taxation will go up because it has to.
One likely candidate for the axe, he says, is the planned upgrade of the US-supplied Trident missile system. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
An annual survey just out ranks the top brands in the world. Coca-Cola was number one, again, in the Business Week Interbrand ranking. Numbers two and three and four, IBM, Microsoft, and General Electric, all of them American names. But that's worldwide. If you go to China, things look better for European companies. From Shanghai, Marketplace's Scott Tong reports.
Financial brokerage CLSA ranked the top 100 brands in China. The highest-ranked multinational was Finland's Nokia at 4, way ahead of American competitor Motorola at 54. France's Carrefour leads Walmart in big box stores, and Germany's Adidas outranks Nike. Is there a built-in European edge? Retail consultant Paul French at Access Asia thinks European firms think more globally. Because they have to.
I think it's just been a historical accident of geography that European countries are small, and in order to expand, successful companies have to go abroad at a very early stage.
By contrast, American companies have a huge market at home to occupy their time. He's quick to say this is not a cultural story. It's not that European people are somehow more worldly and open-minded.
And Europeans, believe me, can be just as isolationist as Americans can, and quite spectacularly so.
CLSA's brand rankings in China are dominated by Chinese companies. Where they're seen as weak and foreign brands are more popular are consumer electronics, cosmetics, and fashion. In Shanghai, I'm Scott Tong for Marketplace.
Maybe you got a nice surprise your last trip to the grocery store, a lower food bill. Well, after skyrocketing last year, food prices are on the decline. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek-Smith has more.
It seems like everything is on sale at my local grocery store.
Milk is on special for $3.49. Cranberry juice on special two for $6.
Welcome to recession supermarket price wars. On the West Coast, Vons has put nearly one in every five items on sale. Out East, Giant Foods has doubled the number of sale items. Chains across the country are all cutting prices. But weren't these same stores jacking up prices last year? Harry Balzer studies food marketing at NPD Group. He says gas prices being lower than last year are part of it. The other part? Cash-strapped Americans refuse to spend more on food.
Consumers said, look, I'm going to moderate my food cost. Are you going to be with me or not? And you could certainly see some of the discount supermarkets who are doing very well, and the other supermarkets had to follow suit.
Balzer says a few years ago, supermarkets were wooing shoppers with sushi bars and fancy wine selections. But these days, cost is king.
Wine is $5.99 a bottle, but if you buy six or more, it's only $5.39. So we need to load up on wine.
In Los Angeles and heading to the Alka-Seltzer aisle, I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
week, we've been hearing from different groups about what's at stake for them in the healthcare debate. It's part of our series, The Cure. Typically, small business owners pay more in premiums than big companies. And if one employee is sick or old, that could raise the price of insurance for everyone. Here's the story of one small business owner in Maryland.
My name is Brian England. I've been in business for 31 years. The name of the company is British American AutoCare, and we have 18 employees. I've always felt it's the right thing to do to provide health insurance. I mean, the healthier workers, they're the people who provide you the income. Last year, what I did was start one of these, what they call health savings accounts. What that meant was suddenly people had a $1,500 deductible for the HMO and a $4,000 deductible on the PPO. The insurance agent called me up and said, Brian, but you're lucky. And I said, well, why am I lucky? And he says, well, if Jeanette hadn't left, and she was 60 years old, your rates would have gone up additional 20%. And it suddenly the sort of penny dropped here, and I thought, my goodness, that is a very sad commentary, because when we go out there looking for insurance and we're judged on the average age, I have that in the back of my mind, and so I'm more likely to employ a younger person. We should not be put in that position. And I think dismantling the whole system is a good idea, I suppose, and I'd love to be out of this whole insurance thing. But I think trying to take away the employer side of it, I think it'd be too disruptive. I think, you know, we've got to try and make it better. First of all, everybody's got to provide healthcare. There should be a personal responsibility for people, say, that are self-employed. You can't have a situation where my business contributes and the business down the road doesn't. Get everybody insured, get in preventive care for everybody, and seeing how that works out. Because we don't know how it's going to work out. I do know one thing, though. If we don't do anything, it's going to be a disaster.
Brian England in Columbia, Maryland, part of our series The Cure, the segment produced by Mitchell Hartman. Finally, we've all heard a vacation can be a life-changing experience, but one resort in Aruba will pay you to really turn up the heat. The Westin Palm Beach is offering to any couple a $300 credit if they conceive a child during their stay. For proof, you provide a doctor's note. The Westin provides the Do Not Disturb sign. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiatakis. Thanks for being here. Have a great weekend.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.